Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
I am very excited. As you know, Pastor Carl is away this Sunday. And so I'm excited. We're going to have a guest speaker who isn't really a guest. She's family here. But I want to just tell you a little bit about her. Diane Saint-Sauveur is a licensed minister. She is. She works at Fellowship for Christian Athletes. And she also is in charge of our evangelism department here at Revival Life Church. And she's just awesome. I love her. I just want you to let's stand up. Let's just honor Diane Saint-Sauveur. I'm excited. I know that Diane is going to bring fire today. I know she's going to preach the word because, the Lord has anointed her. But if you would just join me and just stretch a hand to Diane. Father, I thank you so much that Diane is going to share with us today. Father, I thank you that your anointing is upon her. Father, I pray that you would speak through her, Lord, that everything that you want to be spoken will be spoken. We just welcome your anointing. We welcome your presence, and we declare blessing upon Diane. Today in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastora. I love you.
I love you.
I love you, family. You guys are awesome. God's awesome. Whoa. God's so awesome. All right. How's everyone doing this morning? It's so, as you guys know, I do work for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and I do get sometimes I get to do their chapels and preach a little bit. But there's nothing like preaching to people who feel like they are called and on fire for Jesus. Like there's like a pull. It's so exciting. It's really, really awesome to do that. So if you guys have a Bible or your phones, I just want you guys to turn to one of the most common verses in the Bible. We're going to preach out of that, John 3:16. Whoa. God's so awesome. All right, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, for whoever believes in him may not perish but have everlasting life." Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. Most importantly, I thank you for your love that you've shown through your word, the love that you've shown through your son, Father. I just ask today, as we speak about evangelism, Father, hearts may be ignited, Lord. Father, hearts may be turned back to you, Jesus. Father, I pray that a passion would rise in this place today, Father, for souls and more souls. I declare that John 3:16 won't be just a verse that we say, won't be just a verse that we memorize, but it would be a verse that we live, that it would shut up in our bones, Father. I declare that John 3:16, Father, would ignite a fire in their hearts today, God, would ignite a passion in their hearts today. Father, I pray that they would be able to see Jesus Christ, not only on the cross, but they'd be able to see Jesus Christ resurrected and ready to do amazing things in their lives and in this city. Amen. Amen. All right, so today I'm going to speak a little bit about evangelism. Before I do that, I just want to honor Pastor Carl. He's over there. Whoa, he's over there in Brazil. The anointing's strong up here. He's over in Brazil today. And as Corey and Pastora said, our pastor's in Brazil right now. And we're here in Florida. He's preaching in Brazil right now. And we're here worshiping God in the U.S. right now. I don't know if you guys noticed, but we're in two countries at the same time. We're in two countries at the same time. That's the call of this house being fulfilled this morning. Amen? That's the call of this house being... And there'll be a day we'll be in 5 countries at the same time. 50 countries at the same time. 100 countries at the same time. This is just the beginning of what God has called this house to do, and we're seeing it, fulfilled. Amen? Amen. All right, so back to evangelism. Hey, we're going to get back to the basics today, and I'm going to trust that God's going to do something amazing. So I'm going to talk to 3 types of people today. There's some of you who came to church, you just come to church and you know about Jesus, but you haven't really met him. You have not really met him. Because if you met him, there'd be things manifested in your life like you met somebody. Like, I know you now. Now I have a connection to you. Now I could call you, talk to you, and I believe that you're present in my life. That's the first type of person, the person who hasn't met Jesus. And there's a second type of person who's in here today. You met Jesus, but you're on fire for God, and you just don't know how to tell people about him. You just don't know how to go out and say, you know what, I met Jesus, he's changed my life, and I want to introduce you to him. And you just don't know how to do that. So today I hope I get to equip you to do that. Amen? And then there's a third type of person. You met Jesus. You're on fire for God. You know how to tell people about Jesus. You're a living, walking witness of the Holy Ghost. But you just want to burn a little bit more. You just want to go out and be a spoil, snatch souls from hell. And hopefully you get something out of this today. Amen? Hey. Whoa. Evangelism. So if I could have the definition of evangelism put up. All right. Evangelism is sharing the good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power and love of the Holy Spirit so that the people give their whole hearts to Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, leading to baptism in water and infilling of the Holy Spirit and ultimately incorporation into a discipleship in a local church. So what you guys see here is not just one sentence. Evangelism is not just, I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of evangelism. Why do I say that? Let's turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 41. I'm going to explain why this is a really good definition of evangelism. Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 41 says, "Well, let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for the children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day 3,000 souls." You know what? Salvation is not just being saved from hell. Salvation is being saved from hell, but also giving you power over sin while you're here. Because if it was just being saved from hell when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I think a better place for us to be would have been heaven. You understand? So there's a reason why you're here, and there's a reason why evangelism is not just telling somebody about Jesus. It's about what? Back to the definitions. It's about bringing people to a place where they could encounter the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is what gives power, right? Gives power, and then bringing them to a place where they could be added. It said that day they were added 3,000. That day they were added 3,000. That's souls being added to that local church. So when we go out and we evangelize, and you feel like, man, I know I need to evangelize. I know I need to tell somebody about Jesus. It's not just passing out cards and saying, you need to meet Jesus. It's about giving them an invitation to meeting Jesus and giving them that opportunity to gain power to live a life without sin that will result them to be plugged into the local church, that would result for them to learn how to fulfill the purpose of God in their lives. Amen? So that's not only going out and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to do my Christian duty and say, I'm just going to tell somebody that Jesus loves them. Check. Because if somebody did that with you, you wouldn't be here. Right? If somebody did that with you, you wouldn't be here. So it's more than just telling somebody that Jesus Christ loves them, which is awesome. But let's take it to the different. Let's take it to a different level. Amen? Whoa. All right. I want to share a little bit about how I got saved. So I was 15. I was at a church service. And the pastor was preaching, and he said, and I've been to church my whole life. I grew up in church. And the pastor was preaching, and he said, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven or hell? I've heard that a lot of times. A lot of times. It's just cliche. If you were to die right now, would you know where you would go? But that night, there was something different. And when he said that, he just said, would you know? Would you be sure where you would go? And at 15, at that moment, it freaked me out. It embarrassed me so much that I fell back in my chair and had to run out of the service. And I ran out, and the Holy Ghost was there to meet me, not to scare me into salvation. But I guarantee you, those 2 weeks, there was a hurricane. I don't remember what hurricane it was. I think it was Katrina. It was one of the really bad ones. And it's kind of like the Lord planned that whole moment for me, because lights were out, there was no water, and I feel like I'm going to die. Because at that point, I was like, oh my God, I don't know God. They just asked me, where would I go if I were going to die? And I don't know, and I'm freaking out. And long story short, I ended up in a hospital with anxiety attacks. So I'm at a hospital with anxiety attacks, and I'm freaking out, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm having anxiety attacks. And how many of you guys know when you're having an anxiety attack and you don't know it's an anxiety attack, it feels like a heart attack? So now I think my heart's going to stop. I'm 15, I don't know Jesus, and I'm going to hell. So all this is coming through my head, and I'm like, oh my God, this is all because I went to church and actually stayed there. Because before that, I used to ask Robin and Ron. I used to go to church and leave as soon as my mom pulled out and come back by the time she came back to pick me up. But that night I actually stayed. And so I'm at the hospital. They're not telling me what's happening because I'm 15 and they're talking to my mom. So that's even more freakier because they're doing things in secret. So I'm sure that I'm going to die. And so I left that day with some whatever those anti-anxiety pills that I know that are now. They didn't work on me at all. I left that day still contemplating. There was a hurricane, no lights, my house is dark, only candles. I'm like, this week is my week, I'm gone. And so that next Sunday, I was at church and youth group, and that's the day that I met Pastor Carl and his wife, and they had visited our church, and no, they weren't visiting. Pastor was actually preaching that day, that Sunday. They didn't even know who I was. And Pastor preached an on-fire word in that youth group that morning, and I knew I was going through something, and I needed to meet Jesus. I didn't need another church service. I needed to figure out, how am I going to get saved so I don't die and go to hell? So Pastora and Pastor had little business cards, and I was the first one to get it. So I got one of the business cards from them, and I remember going back to the hospital that week because I was freaking out. I mean, I would go to sleep and feel like my breath was literally leaving my body. It was that scary to me. And I remember calling Pastor and Pastora around midnight. I don't know them. I just met them the week before. And I was calling them, asking them to pray with me. That's how I met them. They're awesome. Asking them to pray with me so I could figure out who this God was. So I just decided that day, the last time I went to the hospital for anxiety attacks, and I was sitting there and they had heart monitors on me, and I just decided, you know what? They say I'm not dying. I feel like I'm dying, so I'm not going to take a chance. Jesus Christ, would you come into my heart? Please save me so that I know if I do go, I'm not going anywhere bad. And so I accepted Jesus Christ in my life that day, and I never went back from him. I never went back from him because it was real to me. It was really real to me that no matter what I did, no matter how cool I thought I was in the 10th grade, no matter how awesome my parents were, no matter how much things I had and no matter how happy I was, nobody was able to take me and give me assurance that if I were to die, I would go to heaven. Nobody, no doctor, no mother, no friend, no boyfriend, nobody was able to assure my heart at that moment while I'm freaking out with anxiety attacks that if I were to go right then and there, that I would be in heaven with Jesus Christ. So that's why, your testimony has power, because sometimes when we walk around and we've been saved for a little bit, it could be a week, 5 years, 50 years. We forget what God has saved us from. We forget where God has brought us from. We forget that there was a life before you knew Christ. And when you go back to your testimony, when you go back to that moment when you were freaking out and you didn't know what to do with your life and you met Jesus, you're able to say, you know what? Everybody around me deserves to meet him. Everybody I encounter deserves to meet him. When you remember that testimony, when you remember the day that you prayed, Jesus, would you come fill my heart? God, I don't even know who you are. I don't even know if you're real. I don't even know if they're just saying this to get me to be a good 15-year-old or a good person. But I'm going to trust and believe that there's more power than just me. That there's more hope than just what my mom could say to make me feel good. So when you remember your testimony, you're going to bring power. And now you're not only now going to tell people that Jesus Christ loves them, you're going to bring them to a place where you introduce them to the Holy Ghost. Because I got saved. Somebody introduced me to a Holy Ghost. A Holy Ghost that says, now you're not going to hell, but let's fix up the mess in your life. A Holy Ghost that gave me power. A Holy Ghost that gives you power. A Holy Ghost that changes you. You're not the same person that you were yesterday, much less last year. And that's not because you're making a checklist on changing things about yourself. That's because there's a Holy Ghost, power working in your life. And it's more than just your strength. And sometimes we need to step back from the whole church scene. When I say church scene, the whole religious thing, the whole routine, and step back and say, wow, I'm here today because God saved me. I am who I am today because God saved me. And when you think about that, your mother that you love so much, your brother that you love so much, the people that you go to work with every day that you love, they're going to mean something to you. They're going to mean something to you. God didn't need to do all that. When I say all that, he didn't need to send his son to die. And taking it for granted is almost silly. It's really almost silly. And he's not asking you to die to save your family or your friends. He's just asking you to tell them. Tell them what I've done for you. That's all he's asking you to do. He's done the hardest part. Amen? He's done the hardest part. All he's saying is, you know what? You know that thing I saved you from? Yourself? How about you tell the person that doesn't know me that I could do the same for them? That's all he's saying. He's not saying walk 33. He's not saying do all that. He's not saying hang up on a cross. He could have. He's God. He's saying, tell them, and I could guarantee you that if they accept me, that they'll not only have a life, but a life more abundantly. Why do we preach this? I'm going to give you three reasons why we preach the gospel. One, because God deserves honor and glory. We don't preach the gospel because it makes us look more Christian. We don't preach the gospel because it's a quota. We don't preach the gospel because it sounds good. We don't preach the gospel to gain favor. We preach the gospel because it brings God glory and honor. Do you want to figure out how to honor God and shame the devil? Tell somebody about Jesus and see them transform. It brings God glory. That's why we preach the gospel. Because we could get so focused on our own agenda that we're thinking we're telling people about Jesus because of us. Or to do the Christian thing. We preach because it brings God glory. The second point, it brings God joy. Because he's a true father. We all here have family members. I say family members because those are the ones usually dear to you, our church family. We all have family members that we love a lot. And you probably would do anything to save their lives. Probably anything. Anything that you could do in your own power to save their life. And if you could save their life, it would bring you joy, right? Yeah. If somebody you love is stuck in a really crazy situation and you have all the resources you needed to save them, you would save them and it would bring you joy. That's the same thing with a father. They say that there's angels in heaven that rejoice when somebody comes into the kingdom. That's not a joke. They rejoice because somebody's added to the kingdom of God. That means a brother's coming home, a sister's coming home, an auntie, uncle, mother, father's coming home. It brings your Father joy. So when you go out, you're not just going out to evangelize. You're not just telling people about Jesus, but you're knowing that it brings him honor and glory, and you know that it brings him joy when we do so. And my third point on that is, it was Jesus Christ's first priority when he was here. John 10:10 says, whoa. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So he said the enemy who has dominion on this earth, the only thing he's good for is to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's not just material things. That's not just your money. That's not just your relationship, but that's your souls. If he could kill it, steal it, and destroy it, then he's doing exactly what he feels like he's on here to do, exactly what he can do. He's a fallen angel, the enemy. That's the only thing he could do. But God, in the same verse, says, I've come to bring life and life more abundantly. So it was Christ's purpose to come and bring life and life more abundantly. You're not alive until you know Jesus Christ. You're not alive until you know that there's something more than just you, that you weren't put here to live 80 years and go. And if you know the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have a tool to bring life. The tool to bring life is in you. When you accept Jesus Christ, it's in you. So you not only could bring, we get excited when we could give somebody some money. You need to get excited that you could bring somebody some life. You need to get excited that not only you're able to pray for somebody, but you're able to teach them. You know what? I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to pray that you get power. So when I'm not here, you have power to pray for somebody else. Amen? Amen? So when we sit here and we say, God, I love you so much. You've come to bring me life and life more abundantly, more money, more this, more that. That's really awesome, but you have power to multiply the kingdom. Is that more than anything that you could buy or say? That's more than anything that you could produce with your own hands. You have power to walk it out. You have power to help others walk it out. So you could live in a place where it's all about you, or you could see that this Bible was not made for you to read it as a history book or to be really amazing and to look like you have it all put together, but these words are words that are going to bring people life around you. That when you go out and you say, you know what, I'm going to pray for you, but can I please pray that you would gain power and faith that you could pray for yourself when I'm not around? That when you're not able to visit the hospitals, the same faith that you walk in, they could walk in. When you're not able to help them pay their bills, you could pray for them and they'll be able to gain that. They'll be able to be equipped and know that Jesus Christ is a provider above all. Well, what does it look like? So we talked about why we evangelize, what evangelism is, but what does it look like? What does it look like when a person is saved, and what does it look like when we're evangelizing? You know, I always get the question, so when I tell somebody about Jesus, how do you know they're saved? It's not only about just repeating after me, right? So what does it look like? If you're on fire for God in this room, it looks like you. That's what it looks like. And you didn't happen automatically. Does that make sense? Yeah. So when we go out and evangelize and we feel like it's really important to God and it brings him glory and joy and our Father, that's why he came here, it looks like me and you. It looks like a life transformed. But it doesn't have to be immediate. Because the miracle is a transformation in the heart. And I don't know about you, but we can't do that. That miracle comes from God. And what he's asking us to be is the mouthpiece of that miracle and to trust and believe that he could do it because he's done it with us. So when we go out and say, hi, so-and-so, I'm not weird, because we always start off like that. I saw you walking, and I just wanted to share something with you. Is that okay? They usually say yes or no. It's pretty black and white. But if they do say yes, you have that opportunity. And like I said, we're going to do the little basics. And you tell somebody, you know what? I just wanted to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you and has an amazing plan for your life. Yeah. That right there, the angels already surrounded you. They're about that business. You already got it, regardless of how they reacted. And so you tell somebody, you know what? Jesus Christ died for you and has an amazing plan for your life. Can I tell you a little bit more about that? And then the Holy Ghost in you starts getting stirred up. Then you start feeling a little bit more compassion for them. And you're like, wow, I have this person's attention. And I have no idea what they're going through. But I know I have the answer right here and right now. And so you tell them, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He has a great plan for you. Can I tell you a little bit about him? Yes, you can. All right. So this is what the Bible says. You tell them a little bit about what the Bible says. And then you say, And then you say, right now I could guarantee you that you can meet him and be sure that you won't go to hell when you die. How can you do that? Gotcha. Repeat after me. Hey, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of my sins. I'm so sorry for what I've done. I don't know you, but this lady says that she does know you, so I'm just going to accept you in my heart, either to get her away or to probably believe that you are God and that you could save my life. And they repeat after you, and you pray for them, and they go away. And you could either think to yourself, I don't even know if they're saved, or you could think that you planted something bigger than yourself, and the angels that walk with you would follow, and God will follow what he's planted in that person. And the next person they meet tells them, you know what, can I tell you, Jesus Christ died on the cross, and then the next week they get invited to church, and you don't know that person could be the next Billy Graham, but you would have had no idea if you didn't just do it. You got here somehow. Somehow you got here. Somebody told you. And if they didn't tell you, Jesus told you, but he's equipping you to tell other people. Amen? So we might not see the exact transformation at that moment. They might not fall at your feet and say, sorry, please take me to church right now. And da-da-da. You might not see that. But don't get discouraged, because it's not your job to transform anybody. It's God's job. You're just a vehicle and a tool that he's using. So keep going, because winning souls is important to God, and it should be important to you, and it'll not only transform their life, but it'll transform yours, because now you're not building a report with how many things that you could get accomplished with life. I'm talking about college degrees and all of that, but you could end your life and say, I brought souls to the kingdom of God, and souls don't perish, but they have eternal life somewhere, and you could play a part in that. Amen? How are you guys doing?
Good.
Getting something out of this?
Yeah.
All right. Let me remind you, if you're breathing today, you have purpose. If you're breathing today, you have purpose. Tomorrow, the people that you see out on the streets, no matter how wicked they look to you, no matter how low on the ground they look to you, they have purpose. If they have breath, they have purpose. If they have breath, they have a redemption plan waiting for them. If they have breath, God has a whole blueprint on how he wants their life to turn out. If they have breath, God is more than able to redeem them. If they have breath, they are worthy to God. If they have breath, no matter how much you don't like them, no matter how much you think they don't deserve it, God has called them and they're loved by their heavenly Father. If they have breath, you're not dead till you're dead. So if you have breath, you have purpose. If you have breath, you're worthy. If you know that for yourself, now know it for the people around you. I just want to get you guys stirred up, not only to know that you walk in a power, because you know that, not only to know that your salvation is important, because I hope you know that, but to walk in a place where, you know what? I could change lives. Just by the power of the gospel, just by the power of my testimony. You don't need to wait till they call you pastor to do that. You don't need to wait till they give you a license to do that. You don't need to wait till somebody sees you to do that. You don't need to wait till a camera's following you around to do that. Because I guarantee you, the people that you see preaching on TV or the people that you see writing the books, the really anointed people that you look up to, I bet you they started by just telling the people around them. I bet you they started by recognizing, my God, I was born for more than just this. And I'll do whatever it takes to get there, because if I start with five and I'm faithful with five, God will bring me the multitudes. Amen? Amen. I'm getting stirred up for evangelism. All right. So we'll go a little bit into how. This is not an evangelism class, so it's going to be a condensed version of how we evangelize. But I'm going to give you different options and different ways that you can evangelize. Amen? There's practical ways of evangelism. At Revival Life Church, we do a lot of street evangelism. That's what we do. We like going out and tell people about Jesus, and the harvest is up to God. Amen? So we go out and evangelize. That's called street evangelism, just going out in the street and evangelize. Sometimes we go out in the streets and we go out with scripts. Right here, scripts. They're a little bit smaller, but I have them bigger just for demonstration's sake. We go out with these gospel soul-winning scripts. Oh, that's corny. Why would I sit there in front of somebody and just read a script? Hey, listen, when you don't know what to say, it's better to read it. People get saved. Amen? So we go out with these scripts, and it tells them that Jesus Christ loves them, gives them scriptures, tells them to repeat, a repentance prayer, and then it says, gives them the guarantee that, you know what, if you said this with your whole heart, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I declare you saved and set free. And by doing this, we've done it. It changes lives. Just a piece of paper. Changes lives. So we go out and do these street evangelisms, and we hit up people and tell them, is it to just make us look cool and more anointed? Absolutely not. But we don't know what God's doing on the other end. You don't know what God's doing. You don't know what people are going through. You don't know if you were the last road for that person before anything could have happened. Can I tell you guys a little story? So I got saved in high school, got on fire for God, and I was just nuts. I wanted to win my whole school. I had a bus going from West Boca to East Boca to youth group a couple of months after I got saved. That's how crazy I was to see souls. Because death was really, really real to me, but life was a lot more cooler to me. So I wanted everybody to be saved. And I used to do the sports medicine club, and I would be there, and I would try to figure out, how am I going to tell these big football players about Jesus without looking like a weirdo? So I'd pray, and I'd learn about divine appointments, and I just assumed anybody that was by themselves was a divine appointment growing up. So I just thought I had a divine appointment by my locker with one of the linebackers. So I go, it's Tuesday, youth group's tomorrow. It was the day before youth group. Of course, this is Jesus. So, So next week was Thanksgiving. Oh, that's funny. Next week's Thanksgiving. But yeah, so next week was Thanksgiving. So I tell him, I go, hi, you know that I got saved, because everybody was talking about me at school at that point, because I just went from sinner to super righteous. And it was just like, it was just kind of weird for people, I guess, but whatever. So I told him, and he already knew I was coming at him with the church stuff. And he was like, I don't have time right now, Diane. I got to go to class. I go, no, you really got to listen to me. So I told him about how I got saved, right? And so I told him how I got saved, and he was like, all right, cool, thank you. And I was like, all right. The day before Thanksgiving the next week, this guy got shot 8 times in Delray. 8 times, drive-by. He was a football player, was in school, had no beef with anybody. They just drove by and shot him 8 times. Shot him 8 times. And I heard he got shot. I was like, oh, snap. I just told him about Jesus. And it kind of freaked me out a little bit. Mind you, I was, you know, a fresh Christian. I didn't know all that. I didn't know Jesus really had divine appointments. I was just believing that that's what we're supposed to do. And so that freaked me out a little bit. So I called everybody, everyone. What happened? Blah, blah, blah. He ended up going to the hospital, and I wasn't able to go see him. And he wrote me on MySpace. Back in the day, he wrote me a message. He wrote me a message on MySpace and said, "Hey, Diane, I know you heard what happened to me. I'm having my father write you this message. My Bible's to my left. Thank God I didn't die, but I saw the light, and I did accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." Whoa. 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 Only God, not Diane. Only God could do that. Not only did he spare his life, but he didn't recover and say it was the doctor. He recovered and said it was Jesus Christ, because somebody told him that Jesus Christ is alive and is there for him. Until this day, I say what's up to him. No, he's not the football player, but he's in school going to be a doctor. God not only saved his life, but gave him purpose. Gave him purpose. And so where when it says somebody got a drive-by shooting and he got shot 8 times and his mom moved and went to another city. When he speaks about his testimony today, I'm part of that testimony. And I didn't do nothing but bombard the guy at a locker room. I didn't do anything special. I'm telling you, these are the people that you're encountering every day. These are the people that you're encountering every day. Those crosses you see on the side of the road, these are the people that you're encountering every day. The cancer patients that lost their battle, these are the people that you're encountering every day. That mother who lost a son or daughter, these are the people that you're encountering every day. The funerals that you hear happening, these are the people that you encounter every day. And if we would for 1 second say, this is not about me, and just because my life looks like it's all good, it could be me. Because I need somebody telling my sister about Jesus. I need somebody telling my family about Jesus. So God send me, as I tell their family, God, please send somebody to tell my family. So if you're praying for somebody, and if it's not close to home to you, it's close to home to somebody else. Be the answer to somebody else's prayer. Because there's grandmas, there's grandpas, there's moms and dads begging Jesus that their sons and daughters would turn around so they don't get somebody knocking at their door 3 o'clock in the morning and said, "My son was shot. Your son was shot." They're praying that somebody would tell them because they're not listening to them. They're praying that somebody would go to them face to face and say, "I was where you're at not too long ago. And please listen to me. There's more than what you're doing." Because you never know if somebody's going to need to tell your son or daughter. You don't. We live and we pray and we hope for the best. But God has us here as family, and he loves family because family cares about one another. And he preaches love because if you're driven by love, it won't be a job. We don't evangelize because it's a job. Amen. We don't evangelize, like I said, just because he tells us to do it. We evangelize because we care and we love people. And that could be your brother, that could be your sister, that could be your son. It really could be. And at some point, if your heart doesn't burn and if you don't feel some compassion, you gotta just ask Jesus, "Did I meet you?" Because if I met you, I'd cry for the things that make you cry. Because I don't know about you guys, when my mom cries, it hurts me, whether it concerns me or not. It hurts me because I don't want to see people I love hurt. Well, it hurts your father that he paid for something and he's not getting what he paid for. But he's put his power in you that you go get back what he paid for. And you have power to go get back what he paid for. So when somebody walks away from church, walks away from God, and walks away from everything that makes sense to you, you go back and get them because that's your job. And we could stick with the lies that says, well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not bold enough. I'm not called to evangelize. Yeah. That sounds good. But you are called to evangelize. You are an evangelist. Why? Because you have the power of the gospel within you. You could read and you know what the gospel says. Amen. And you could reach souls. Nobody's asking you to stand and preach about evangelism. Nobody's asking you to even hit the streets when people go out and evangelizing. All God is asking you is that you would remember what he's done for you and share it with the person next to you. And we could say, you know what, I'm just being a witness. I'm just being a witness. I'm Christian. I'm being a witness because I'm not doing anything bad. But in order to receive something, you need to give something. And being a witness is not giving anything. You need to speak to get back, right? How are they going to receive something by just seeing you act good? Okay? You're a good person. But you need to give out. And the only reason I'm saying that, and your life does speak measures to people. It does. Your life does speak measures. So it's good to be a good example. It's good to live a life that glorifies Jesus Christ. And you know what? There are the one or two people that do come up to you and say, wow, your life is just so amazing. How do I get my life that amazing? But reality is it takes work on our part. Because if that's one or two, three people, you can reach a lot more, plus that one, two, and three by saying something. So learn the gospel, know your message, and the gospel is very simple. Nobody's asking you to memorize the Bible. Just learn that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them. They ask for forgiveness, believe him in their hearts, and turn away from sin, they could be saved. Shut up. So whatever you do for God, whether it's worship, whether it's having a business, whether it's playing a sport, or just being a mom. Whatever you do for God, remember, souls are important. Souls are important. And if they weren't, you'd be gone. And we wouldn't be having church. We live a really short life here and a very long life on the other side. Amen. And just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Yeah. And I love living life with all of you, but I would love living life with all of you longer. Yeah. And I'm sure you feel that way about the people you love. Yeah. So, I don't want you to feel like I'm beating you up because I get very, very, very passionate about evangelism. But I really want you to understand that it's important and we can't just let it pass us by. And we can't just give the job to the evangelist. Because there's people I'm going to meet, Mimi's going to meet, that you may not meet. And there's people you're going to meet that I won't meet. And there's places you're going to be influential that they'll look at me like I'm crazy. There's people I'm going to go, and they'll look at you like you're crazy. So God has called us for regions, for nations, and it can't just be one person. You see, I got saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus. I got saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, had a lot of issues, still have a lot of issues. But you know what's really awesome about that? Is that there was a man that believed in me. A man that believed that I was called, but knew it was his call to believe that I was called, right? And as he's fulfilling his call, I'm fulfilling my call. As he's in another country fulfilling his call, he's equipped me to fulfill my call, right? That's you. There's a call you have. Whoa. If you fulfill your call, You'd give an avenue so people could fulfill their calls. And that's how we reach nations. So we multiply by multiplying people. So if Pastor Carl and Pastor Tracy just thought it was their job to fulfill their call and nobody else's, they'd be leading worship, try to preach on Sunday, try to be in another country, try to lead a class, try to greet you as they're taking care of the kids and doing youth group on Friday night. That sounds crazy. But because they understand that because their heart burns, they want your heart to burn and they'll raise you up, they're able to do a lot more than just their two hands. But they want you to see that that's what you could do. Multiply. Multiply. I remember a pastor said this, and it really ignited something in me. And it said, when Jesus left, he said, you'll be able to do more things than I can, right? Whoa. You'll be able to do more things than I can. How are we going to do more things than Jesus? But when Jesus was here, he was one person. When he left, he gave us his spirit. So that one person with the spirit inside of us, if we're all doing what Jesus called us to do, we're doing more because we're in different places at the same time. We're in different places at the same time. So I don't want you guys, like I said in the beginning, to just stop by telling somebody about Jesus. That's awesome. But tell them about the power of Jesus. Invite them to church. Not so that we look like a big church, but you want people fulfilling and coming into their call because you'll be part of their testimony. That man that told me, well, that pastor that told me that if you were to die right now and go to hell, he's part of my testimony. And all he did was just preach on a Friday night, like Corey does on a Friday night. That's all he did, was just preach to a bunch of youth that were talking. And for some reason, I heard that part. Right? You could be that person. So even if they look at you like, because I was looking a little crazy, he has no idea what I'm doing for God now. Maybe he does. But he's part of my testimony. I can guarantee you God wants you to be part of a lot of people's testimonies. Amen. And you have that power. Amen. Whoa. Jesus. All right, so I'm going to close with this. It's your call. So if you'd go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. It's a great commission. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the ways, all that I've commanded you, and I behold, I am with you always to the end of age. So we just talked about how you don't have to be an evangelist to evangelize. You don't even have to go out with an evangelism team to go evangelize. And just because you're not called to be an evangelist doesn't mean you're not called to be an evangelist, because the word says he's commanded you to preach the gospel. It's a command. He's commanded you to preach the gospel. So I'm going to end with this. God has called you and knows that you're here at Revival Life Church. And his heart is aching. His heart is aching to see the souls of this city know him. I talk about physical death, but there's people walking around you who are spiritually dead. That's even worse. And I don't want to make you guys sad, but I want to provoke you. As much as you're sick of funerals and the sad things that happen in the news, God hates it more than we do. Yeah. He hates it more than we do. And just because our little bubbles are okay, doesn't mean we can't be involved in other people's bubbles. So I want to provoke you this morning. Like I said in the beginning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you an opportunity to meet him in a little bit. If you do know Jesus Christ and didn't know how to evangelize, I hope you got a little bit of a snippet on how to tell somebody about Jesus. And if you did know how to tell somebody about Jesus, I hope you're a little bit more provoked that it's your job to introduce them. That it's your call to introduce them, however that might look. So I pray that not only this church, but you guys, as the church, as this church, would cry out souls and more souls. When we pray souls and more souls from every generation, that's not just a prayer, but that's people. Souls and more souls. That's your mothers, that's your fathers, that's your brothers, that's your sisters, that's your cousins, that's your aunts. That's souls and more souls. We're not crying out just for the people that you see in Africa on TV. We're crying out for the people that you live life with, the people that you see every day. We're crying out souls and more souls, souls and more souls, souls and more souls. I pray that this house would burn with not only passion to fulfill your call, but to bring everything that Jesus Christ paid for out those doors to this house, but to meet the God in heaven, to come to be part of that kingdom. Angels rejoice in heaven when somebody says, Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, please save my life. Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, please take me away from this. Because they don't know that the enemy doesn't like them. Working for him, he doesn't like them. They don't know. It only takes somebody who doesn't know to be living for somebody that doesn't like them. But you have the wisdom of God to say, nothing's ever going to get better if you don't meet Jesus. Because the person you do know doesn't want anything good for you. So I pray that it burns in your heart, that you have power, that your testimony has power, that you have power, that when you preach the gospel, it'll bring souls to the kingdom. If I could have Mikey come up. Jesus. I pray that hell would be so real to you, that it wouldn't only be a place that they talk about, but it would be so real to you that when you look at people, you look at them with eyes of compassion. Amen. Like, I'll do anything in my power that you don't end up there. I'll do anything in my power that when you do go on to be with the Lord, that you're with the Lord. That if I have any say, that if I have any say, you're going to heaven. You could hate me, you could think I'm weird, but I'm taking you with me. Talk to me later. You have power this morning. You have power. When you go on with your week, I believe God's going to stir up something in you that's not going to be able to look at people again the same. That you're not going to be mad at a sinner because they're sinning. You're not going to judge a backslider because they're backsliding. But you're going to look at them the way Jesus looks at them and say, you're just a lost soul that I need to save. So if you'd stand with me. Father, I thank you. You're such a good God. So if I could have everybody close their eyes, except for Mike. So if I could have everybody close their eyes, I'm going to ask you a very important question this morning. Very important question. If you were to die today, if today was the last day that you would take your breath, if this was your last moment, I want to ask you, if this was your last moment, your last day, if God said this is the end of your story today, if you are not sure, if you are not sure that you would be in heaven, and I'm not asking you to figure out who God is at this moment, all that will come. I'm not asking you to dig into your thoughts and all the questions you had about God right now. I'm asking you, if you were to die right now, would you know if you'd go to heaven? I have really good news. If you don't know, today you're going to know. So if that's you this morning, I just ask that you just raise a hand and put it down real quick. If that's you this morning. All right, I see you. Anybody else? Today's your day. I see you. You know, when I got saved, I answered the salvation altar call a lot just to make sure. It got to the point where Pastor was like, I was excited the day you didn't. Because that meant you believed it. So there's no shame in doing so. Because that's forever. And I want to be sure that I'm going to be forever somewhere. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. This is really awesome. All right, I'm going to ask you one more time. If you're a little anxious about this question, you might not know him. And that's okay, because you will today. If this gives you a little bit of anxiety, that's okay. So I ask you again, if you were to die today, if today was going to be your last day, would you know where you would go? And if so, do you have the power to follow Jesus Christ all the days of your life? So that's a 2-for-1. Not only do you get to meet him today, we're going to pray that you get power to live a Christian life. A power to win souls. So if that's you, I just ask that you would raise your hand. All right. Okay, everyone, you can open your eyes. I saw everyone who raised their hand. So if everyone will repeat together, we're just going to, everybody today, we're just going to give our lives back to Jesus. All of us. Amen. You know what's really cool? Hey. I'm going to use my script today as an example. All right, so you ready to repeat after me? Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean and cleanse me. Set me free. Jesus, thank you that you died for me. I believe that you are risen from the dead and that you're coming back for me again. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost, a hunger for the things of God. A holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven. Because Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Father, I pray this morning that those who have answered that call for the first time this morning, God, I declare in the name of Jesus that today will be their day. I declare, Father, that their sins are forgiven this morning. I declare every foul and wicked thing that has held them back from you would leave right now. I declare in the name of Jesus, as all the angels are rejoicing in heaven, that they would run after you, God. I declare this morning, God, that nothing will ever take them away from you. I declare in the name of Jesus that your sons and daughters are coming home today, God. I declare, Jesus, that you will show yourself. I declare that you're worth it. I declare that your Father in heaven loves you. I declare you're gonna make it. I declare you're bold and called to purpose. I declare the preachers in this room would raise up. I declare the worshipers would raise up. I declare the ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ would come out of sin and they would fulfill their call. You are called. You are called. You are called. You are called for greatness. If you answer that call this morning for the first time, don't be ashamed. It's a good day for you today. It's an amazing day for you today. I just invite you to go talk to Mimi and Vince DeLuca. They'll pray for you. They'll explain a little bit more of what happened this morning. So if you raised your hand this morning, take that walk. Take that walk in faith and say, this morning's my morning. My life will never be the same. So if you were that person this morning, I just encourage you to just walk to Mimi and Vince. And for the rest of you, today's a good day. It's a very good day. Some people met Jesus today for the first time. And that's really awesome. But what I see is really, really cool is that now they're not only equipped, but you're equipped to introduce people to Jesus this week. So if that's you, I just want to open the altar this morning. I want to pray for you. If you feel like, you know, I'm saved, I'm on fire, but I want that passion. I want to see souls the way Jesus Christ sees souls. I just invite you to come up front with the worship team. I just invite you to come up front here, and I'm going to pray for you.